Vic Shannon is asking, do you think some of the quote unquote UFOs are possibly good angels that are in battle with Satan's minions? What do you think, Tim?
That's a fascinating question that I've been contemplating myself for a few years. In the beginning, it was difficult for me to assimilate the idea that some of these craft to be being piloted by good guys, possibly even neutral factions. But I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, that it's reasonable to assume that some of these mechanisms are that it's not all, let's say, on the dark side. In other words, this technology, let me say this, and I can say this with great certainty, technology in itself is neither good or evil.
Right.
A flying saucer is an evil in and of itself. It's a machine. It's a mechanism. It's
right.
No more evil than your minivan parked in your driveway. It's a tool.
That's true.
And so if we are encountering, especially if we're encountering entities that belong to what I call the elder race, the quote unquote angelic faction, then we should assume that the good ones and the bad ones will be using the same technology. They come
right.
from the same civilization. So it's the same dynamic on Earth. I mean, if the United States goes to war with China, we're two different factions, you know, but we're from the same human culture, using the same technologies, the very same systems of propulsion and so forth, the very same mechanisms that make our weapons, for example, destructive, are being employed on both sides, the atomic energy, directed energy weapons, so forth. So those weapons would belong to both factions, both the United States and to China in that kind of scenario. So I think it's only logical to infer that the technology belongs to both factions, the good and the bad. And some of that technology it belongs specifically to, again, what I call the elder race, the quote unquote angelic race. And some of it probably belongs to other creatures that are from their own civilization or from a factional group within the greater civilization. So, but we have to talk about these things in terms of technology, civilization, you have to. If you try and make these things just spiritual figments of your imagination, or if you try and make it just, it's all just deception or Project Bluebeam or whatever, then you're going to run into, very illogical conclusions. You're going to be forced, I should say, into illogical conclusions. Don't let yourself be forced into illogical conclusions. Just expand your paradigm. Why? Why adopt illogical conclusions? Just expand your paradigm and you know, have a paradigm in which these things fit. In other words, okay, this craft can belong to either side, and maybe they are. I mean, and I talk about this in my book, actually. Maybe there are factions, let's call them. I mean, when you say the host of heaven, for example, that's a martial term. It's a militaristic
right.
term, the hosts of heaven. You're talking the armies of heaven is what you're saying. And so why do you have an army? Why do you have an army? Does an army exist? Is an army self-existent in and of itself? Do armies exist without there being an underlying civilization to protect, an underlying cultural context that's being protected here, that's being preserved? That's why armies exist. And so if you have a host of heaven, that means they're doing something, they're protecting something, they're guarding something, they're fighting, they're doing battle with something, and they're using the implements of their technology to do battle.
Right.
And so are there craft, are there UFO-type craft dispatched to the Earth by the good guys to maybe keep the bad guys in check? I don't see why that would be an unreasonable conclusion.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that I've thought about a lot too, but not until tonight has it made as much sense, because the whole idea of what's happening in angelic realms influencing what's happening on human realms, that it influences that everything that we do as humans is probably a shadow of a greater reality. That is just mind blowing to me. Haley Abby, or Abe, A-B-B-E. Haley is asking. So Haley is asking, what is your take on the announcement by Russia that fallen angels are present coming from the area of Antarctica? I followed info about Hollow Earth, but did Russia make the announcement nationally? So this idea, apparently Russia made some announcement. I don't really know the details of it. You might know it better than me, or you might not know anything about it, but I don't know the exact details, but apparently Russia made some kind of announcement about fallen angels in Antarctica or whatever. But this connects sort of with the Book of Enoch. There have been interpretations of the Book of Enoch that say on one of his trips that he saw Antarctica and that there were fallen angels imprisoned there. What is your view of that? And do you know anything about the Russia connection to this?
No, I don't know what this person's referencing, but none of us really know what the heck's going on in Antarctica.
That's true.
I've spoken to a couple people who've been there. One lady at a conference in Geneva came up to me, very well-educated woman who works for the United Nations, and she told me some pretty bizarre stories that verify some things. For example, the things that Steve has told me, this woman verified some of that. So I think, you know, but nobody really knows. We can't go there. We don't have any information really on Antarctica. We know something's going on there. We have the Admiral Byrd story and so forth, which for the record, I don't believe in the Admiral Byrd diaries. I think they're contrived. But it's helpful too when you know, we've kind of created a class of beings that doesn't really exist in terms of classifying them as a separate kind of being, a classification of kind. We call them fallen angels, which is accurate, because they are fallen angels, but they're not a different species. They're not a different kind of angel. They're just in a state of rebellion, insubordination.
You have good and bad humans.
Exactly. They're part of what I call the insurgency. They're insurgent.
Right. Right.
And they're in a state of insubordination against the King of Heaven. Again, think in terms of empire. So these entities, are they being pursued? Are they being caught and thrown into prison? Are there factions of them that are being hunted by the hounds of heaven? Is there some kind of a heavenly celestial posse out to catch these guys and imprison them, incarcerate them? And if that's true, are they then trying to take refuge in the earth and under the earth and trying to protect themselves with technology and hide and fight against? We know that they fight. I mean, Michael and his angels do battle with the dragon and his angels.
Right.
Revelation. Of course, there's a lot of metaphor and analogy and so forth there. You know, all of these things have to be careful how you parse these things because of the esoteric nature of scripture. But we can understand the story. In the stories, there's good guys and there's bad guys. They're in conflict. The conflict isn't over yet. The earth is part of the conflict. Human beings are to some degree. The conflict is at least happening around us, even though a lot of it's perceptual black matter to us. So who knows? I mean, these are fascinating questions, and we're entitled to ask them.
Yeah.
And so there's no prohibition against inquiry in the kingdom of heaven. We're allowed to ask every question we want. And so, again, there could be a scenario in which there's bases on the earth that are occupied by the rebel forces. I mean, well, we want to put it in Star Wars terminology. But of course, it's the opposite. The rebel forces in this case would be the bad guys. And do they have conclaves on Earth, under the Earth, actually, because they don't have authority here, by the way. That's in my book.
Right.
But so are they under the Earth? Well, I think they are. And specifically, I'll say this. I think they do have a conclave, at least under the Andes. Let's put it that way. But
That's interesting.
So these are all contingencies that these are all possibilities that I think are well within the realm of rational speculation.
Yeah, definitely. I so badly want to ask you about the Andes reference, but I have to go to what the viewers are asking. And I did say first come, first serve. So, you know, maybe in like 5 hours, somebody will ask about the Andes because we have so many viewers. We're getting so many questions. This is phenomenal to see. There are so many people like just hungry for the truth. And I love to see that. Sector 16 has rephrased his question, and he said, question, Timothy, what did you learn about Sardinia and Cusco? So I guess just kind of a general kind
there's a correlation between Sardinia and Cusco. It would be number one, the Vatican has a very strong presence in both locations and is literally sitting on top of an underground network of both artificially and naturally occurring tunnels and caverns.
Okay.
And that factors into, by the way, the expedition that I'm about to embark upon in Peru.
That's fantastic. So people will have to stay tuned for more information on that. And Tim has already agreed that he's going to come on this channel in the future. But you don't even have to wait for that. That's the great thing. You don't even have to wait for that. You can just follow TimothyAlberino.com, or you can go to his Twitter, which he mentioned before. Alberino. Yeah, at Timothy Alberino. You can follow him on Twitter and get all of the information there. Excellent answer. Okay. Sonny Ray is asking, is the Apocrypha legit? What do you think about the Apocrypha?
No, that depends on what you mean by legit. I don't involve myself in the contention in the controversy concerning the canon. The canon is irrelevant to me. I'm only interested in the truth. And I know that what's in the Bible is true. I feel very comfortable with the scriptural narrative from Genesis to Revelation, but I also believe that the Book of Enoch is true, and I think that there are other books that are very useful and are communicating a message that conforms with the message of Scripture, and that's where you really draw your line. Now it depends on what you mean also when you're legitimate in terms of historically legitimate. There are documents that absolutely contradict, at least some of their content contradicts the narrative of Scripture and the gospel. That's where I draw the line. Then I know that we have a fundamental problem here in terms of theological messaging. However, they may contain information concerning the cultural context of the time, or other things that are relevant to our understanding when we read the Bible. So it depends on what you mean by legit. If people ask me, do you think, for example, the Book of Enoch should be in the canon of Scripture, my reply is irrelevant. That question is irrelevant to me. It means nothing to me. It means nothing to me. I believe in the content of Scripture, and I have read the Book of Enoch, and at least the first Enoch, and the Book of the Watchers, to be more specific, rings true to me. I feel like it coincides with the narrative of Scripture, and furthermore, it is verified and endorsed certainly by the writers of the New Testament, who Jude puts it verbatim in his letter. So. It all depends. It's all context. You know, I don't get dogmatic about these things because, again, I'm interested in the truth, and I'm interested in anchored in the gospel, and then interested in the truth in a broad context. I'm interested in the truth of natural history, for example. I'm interested in the truth of physics, of cosmology. I'm interested in the medical sciences. I'm very much interested in whether or not vaccinations hurt my kids. I'm very much interested in whether or not taking too much of a certain kind of medication will destroy my gut. I'm interested in truth. I'm interested in things that are real and practical and interesting and increase my knowledge of the world. And so legitimate? Are there some books that are legitimate in terms of adding to my understanding in a cultural context and of these things? Sure. But am I going to take them as seriously as I do Scripture if they contradict the narrative of the gospel. Absolutely not.
Amen.
And I mean, I really don't know how to frame it in any other way.
But